Good morning, everyone. I hope you have enough sleep because of the daylight saving. Today I'm going to talk about this verse, John 3:16. This is a gospel message, mainly for those who are not yet have accepted Christ. There are many mysteries in life. Where do I come from? Why am I here? Why the world is in such a chaotic situation? Why? How come there are wars? How come there are so many pain or sorrow in this world? Where am I going? Am I going to die? Yes, everybody dies. But who can tell me all the answers of all these mysteries? And yet, God tried to tell you and me. And there's a key there to open up all the mysteries in life. And I would say this key is in John 3:16. Many Christians know this verse very well. It's not working. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the first words there, four. There's a reason. For it means it is because. There are many mysteries. Why? Because. It tells us the reason of so many questions and mysteries. And in this verse, there are four parties you can see. It talks about God. It talks about the world. The world, which means not the physical world, but actually mean the people in this world. And actually, it includes you and me. So for God so loved the world, two party. The third party, he gave his only begotten Son. The Son is the third party I'm going to talk about. And whoever believes, now there's another smaller party from the world. This party is smaller. I'll call it the believers. So whoever believes, some people don't want to believe. They rejected it. So for those who believe, they are the believers. And what happens to the believer? They should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, there's a consequence. You believe it or not, if you don't believe, perish. You perish. I am going to perish if I don't believe in God. But for the believers, I have everlasting life. So we must have a look at this four party. This four party tells us about all things. First of all, let's think about God. How does God introduce himself? He told us in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. So this tells us, where do I come from? Ah, God created. Why am I here? God created you. God created your parents. What does it mean when he created? That means he's the creator. When we say he's the creator, that means he's very, very smart. Look at the creation. Look at the beautiful trees, the birds, butterflies. All these beautiful things tells us one thing. This creator, he is powerful. If you come into my house, the lightings are beautiful. The decorations are beautiful. The design is good. Then you start to admire the architect who designed all this. Wow, such skill, such all this high tech, maybe in your home, all the Wi-Fi, all the sound control. You can control many things. Wow, God must be very clever. Yes, He's clever. The Creator is clever, powerful, and He has authority. When you come into my house, you should pay respect to me. This is your house. You're sitting on my chair. You're eating my food. So when you enjoy everything in this creation, know that there is a Creator. You owe Him. You owe Him. You have to pay respect to Him. He's glorious and deserves honor. So be mindful. How about if someone walk into your room, lie on your bed, eat all your chips without asking? You will be furious about that silly person, isn't it? How can you show some respect? This is mine. This is mine. You can't take it without asking. So we will treat others like that. How much more we should treat God? Oh God, thank you for giving us such a beautiful day. Giving us every breath that we take. It's free. Every drop of rain from the heaven is free. Why? All this beautiful thing we enjoy, why? And in Revelation, the last book, everyone was, the elders are bowing before God. They cried out, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." He is worthy to receive glory and honor. Do you give Him glory? Do you pay respect to Him? Do you give God honor? And all things are created by your will. God has a purpose in all this. When someone designed a house, there is a purpose. Even your phone has a purpose. All the function in it has a purpose. Every app, every function in your phone has a purpose for you to carry out. The phone has a purpose to use, not just for decoration. A beautiful car there has a purpose. You can drive it. It's not just for putting it in the garage. A beautiful sports car, you can sit in it, drive very fast. But yes, it can go very fast. But what is the purpose? Where can you go? God created you, give you eyesight, give you strength. You can run, you can talk. But what is the purpose of your life? Listen carefully. What is the purpose of you exist in here? God has a will for you. I live a purposeless life. I just eat and sleep and play. Eat and sleep and play. Eat and sleep and play. Is that all? Is that your life? There must be something more. And I want more in my life. I don't want to waste my life. My time on earth is important. I want to find the purpose. Who can tell me the purpose? Only the Creator. When He created you, when He has a purpose for your life. Don't waste your life. When you go to school, you learn English, you learn mathematics. All this is for you. There's a purpose in your life so you can serve Him. Not just to get a good grade, not to just get some awards from your school. There is meaning. There is purpose. Once that purpose is fulfilled, you can find the joy. I want to live a happy life, joyful life. Then you have to fulfill that purpose. You have a stomach. If you put rubbish in it, your stomach will feel sick. Your life will feel sick. But the stomach is for food. If you put the food in the stomach enjoy the food.
Ah.
If you eat some metal nails into your tummy, it will cause you pain. We put so many wrong things in our life, and it brings disaster into our life. But if you put the right thing in your life, you will find joy, isn't it? You take the right food, the food tastes nice. So when God created you, He gave you the appetites to eat the good food. You find enjoyment in the good food, having good food, isn't it? But your being is not just for food. Your whole person, there must be something to fill in your life. Then you can find the real joy, the real purpose in your life. So young men, young women, you may be teenagers, but you can ask, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of my life? How can I find the real joy? Until you find God. Our life on earth is a transitional state. In this life, our time on earth is to know Him and realize how good He is. And then in this life, we choose, God, I want to be with You in eternity. So your life on earth is a time to make a choice, how you spend eternity. In this life, you taste and experience all the good things, and then you desire, wow, God, You are so great. I want to be with You forever. You choose God, and God welcomes you in. You choose to be with Him. But within this life, you rejected Him. You ignore God. Then you make your own choice. In eternity, you will depart from Him. So His will is like that. If you look at the last book or last chapter of the Bible, it tells that God wants man to be with Him in eternity. So the history of mankind is a transition state. One day we will be with Him. But the time on earth, we have to make our choice. Why would I choose Him? Many of us think, oh, religion is boring. Spending time knowing God is wasting my time. I would rather play out there, playing soccer, playing do all things. Why would I need God? So, look at the world around us. Look at what happens to this world. If God loves me and God is so perfect, how come the world become like the world we have right now? How come there are wars? How come there are people sick? How come people got cancer? How come there are many fights, even in the family? The sibling. How come that person is so selfish? How come he say something wrong to me? How come he did something wrong to so many people and yet he seems to be prosper? There are injustice in this world. This world has a problem. If God is so clever, so smart, so powerful, He's designed many things so great, how come the world turns out to be like this, what we have right now? There must be something wrong. God, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with mankind? Some people even say, there's no God. If there's God, how come people got sick? If there's God, how come people suffer? God is not a loving God. So because of their suffering, they rejected, there's a loving God. So God tried to explain to us, actually, in our hearts, we know there's a God. In the book in Romans chapter 1, it tells us that because what may be known of God is manifest in people's heart, for God has shown it to them. So every nation, every tribe, people has a sense there is a God. What may be known of God? From the creation, I know there's a creator. Where does this come from? Where does this come from? Where does this come from? There must be an origin. There must be a creator. So every tribe, not knowing God, they try to worship something. People worship the woods. People worship rocks. People worship the sun, the moon. People worship everything. They know there is a God, but who is the real God? So in our nature, we know there is God. But the problem is we don't know who he is, where we can find him. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his power, his wisdom are clearly seen. When you look at the tiny flower, when you look at the cell, wow, it's marvelous. When you look at the human body, when I opened the organs, and I see the organs inside a rat. I was studying biology, and I dissect the rat. Wow, amazing inside. God is clever, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God has so that they are without excuse. So you can't say, oh, there's no God. When things happen, you cry out to heaven, why? God, who are you? Where are you? Help me. People know that deep in your heart, there is someone up there. No excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So now we see the problem. People know there's a God, but I don't want to listen to you. Yes, I should pay honor to you, but if you are not here, if you do not exist, I can do all the things I want. I don't have to pay attention to you. As if you come into a house, oh, no one here. I can do whatever I like. Now, we are like that. In a way, we know, there must be God somewhere. But at the same time, I want to do it my way. Just do it. It's the slogan in many. Just do it. You don't have to care about what God thinks. This is humanity. We just think of ourselves. Do not give glory to God. Do not honor him as God. So we are not thankful. It's by my hard work. I got this. By my smartness, I get all this wealth. But because they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened, so men's hearts are darkened. There is no God. You got money? I take your money. I'm stronger than you. So when our hearts are darkened, because when we ignore God, we can do everything we want. I can take your house, take your land, take your wives, take all your properties, because there's no God. When I'm strong, I have power, I have weapons, I can do whatever I want. This is still the mentality today, isn't it? Which country has got more missiles, aircraft carrier? Then other country has to listen to them. People rob other people. Country rob other countries. These are the problems we see nowadays, isn't it? How can we solve the problem of this environmental problem? How can people cut down so many trees so that they can get money? So many problems, not because of the God's design, but because men's problem in their heart. Men are selfish. They think of themselves only. Even you, even me, don't want to care about what God thinks. We just want to do it my way. This is the problem. This is the problem that caused all the problem in the world. All the wars, all the disease, because all have sinned. Let me frankly put it this way. I have sinned because you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We should glorify God. Our whole life should glorify God. And yet, without glorifying God, we fall short of the glory of God. Our life, instead of full of God's glory, when other creatures look at men, look at them. God loves them. God gave them the power, the glory, the honor. But now when they look at men, men are horrible. They killed all kinds of animals. We don't give God the glory when we depart, choose our way away from Him. And there are consequences. We live in sin, and there's even further consequence, for the wages of sin is death. So people die. When people choose their own way, depart from God. So our physical body will die. Everyone will die. You will die one day. You may be young, but I can tell you, you will die. And what's happened after death? Eternal death, punishment, or eternal joy to be with God? There are consequences. God is trying to warn us, not to threaten you, but let you know what you are going to choose. For the wages of sin is death. God is not always trying to threaten you, punish you, but God is going to offer you the gift. As if you are already sick, the doctor comes to offer you the medicine. I'm not trying to threaten you because you are already dying. I'm not threatening you because I want to offer you something better. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This eternal life does not mean a very long, very long, very long, very long, very long, very long, very long life. I don't want a very long life when life is full of suffering. No. The eternal life does not specify on the time. Eternal means it's perfect, no weakness. That's why it can last eternal. There's no weakness in this life. It's just like God's life. So God wants to offer you something. Even though we rejected Him in the first place, we want to go our own way. We make our life a mess. Unhappy life. So God wants to open up. Now you see, without me, how can you manage your life? If you want to return to me, this is what you need. Christ Jesus. Accept Him as your Savior. This is the gift of God, which you don't deserve. When you sin, you definitely have your wages. If God does not give you the wage of sin, then God is wrong, injustice. Sin, you need death. But there's something you do not deserve, is the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But you may say, how can I know Christ Jesus? Is the answer. For God so loved the world. How can we know He's really loving us? So the key verse just now we mentioned, God so loved the world. How can God demonstrate His, how do I know God loves me? God, what is His, how do God think about me? God loves you. Not just love you, give you a chocolate, no. Give you a Wi-Fi, we'll give you an Apple phone. No. God so loved you that much that he gave you, not a diamond, not a house, which does not last long, he gave you his son. But you may say, how can I know it's Jesus Christ? How can I know that it's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus? Verse 24. It's before short of the glory of God. But now we are freely justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So God again and again tells you about Christ Jesus, my son. He's your key. He's your key to eternal life. How can I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Many philosophers, many teachers, many great men, many wise men claim they have the way. They know. But how can I be sure? Yes, I know God. There must be a God. Okay, I admit that there are men are sinful. There are problems with men. I have problems. But how can I know the cure? How can I know what I need is Jesus Christ? How can I know? So before God sent his son, he already planned the whole salvation plan. He sent his servants, the prophets, and they make prophecy, telling many, many years ago, the Messiah, the chosen one, will be born in Bethlehem. So many prophets make prophecy about the coming Messiah. So throughout the Bible, recorded the history, the prophecy of the prophets, they all point to, beware, the Messiah is coming. He will change everything. So God tells you. So it can't be fake. Why? Because who will plan 1,000 years ahead? If I want to make a plan, I can only plan as long as I live. But how can I make a plan more than 1,000 years? And every 100 years, maybe, different prophets speaks of the same Messiah. He will be born in Bethlehem. What he will happen? He will die on the cross. On the third day, he will rise from the dead. So, with the prophecy, God tells us. God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets. So God sent his servants, pointing, it's him, it's Jesus, he is coming, that Christ would suffer. So God tells us beforehand, when Jesus comes, his son comes, he will suffer. And he has thus fulfilled all the prophecy. And because of that, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So our response is, oh yeah. Oh yeah? So what? Repent. Oh yeah? How does it relate to me? Repent. God's message to you is repent. Are these the prophecy or the evidence? More. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can you make any more excuse? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs, wonders, with various miracles. How can I know it's Jesus? Listen. God, when Jesus came to earth, he do a lot of miracles, wonders. Five loaves of bread, 2 fishes to feed 5,000, raising people from the dead. Open the eyes of the blind, open the ears who are deaf. All these miracles, why does it all happen on Jesus? And various miracles. and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So God has given us a lot of evidence to prove Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one, the coming King. So not only prophecy, but the life of Jesus, all His miracles, and more. And in the Romans, it declared Jesus, we can say He declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is super strong evidence. Why? Because all people die. Philosophers, wise men, all died. Their wisdom cannot save themselves. Their talk is empty. But only Jesus has the power. He died on the cross. He was buried. He can't do anything. But God raised Him from the dead to show that God has chosen Him. Resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God. How can I know Jesus is the Son of God? Resurrection. How can I know that Jesus is the Son of God? His miracles, His signs, His wonders. How can I know that Jesus is the Son of God? All the prophecy. And not only that, then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So Christ is willing to suffer. Why? For you, for me. You should suffer on the cross. You should die on the cross. But He took your place. Such great love. Who can take your place in suffering? He took your place to suffer, to show that He loves you. If someone is willing to die and suffer for you, what does He trying to tell you? He wants to tell you, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Even though you ignore Him, He loves you. Even though you don't care about Him, He loves you. Willing to die for you on the cross. You don't have to beg for Him. He died already to show His love, never changing, always open arms for you to come back to Him. And the repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at the Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. So God is not just telling you by through Jesus, by all the witness, by the disciples. So I'm here, there are disciples here, trying to tell you today, God does not shout to your ear, but His disciples bearing witness, Christ is real. He saved me. He changed me. And He can change you. He can change you. Deliver you from sin. Believer, God so loved the world that He is willing to give His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever, someone may ignore, but someone believes. You may say, I don't understand. There are many things in the Bible I don't understand. There are many parts in the Bible I don't understand. Is this superstition? Just, my mother brought me here, I just follow my mother. My father took me to the church, so I just follow. It's not blind faith, but all the evidence God has shown you. Yes, we are not so smart. If you tell me a lot of theology, I may not understand. Tell me a lot of the Bible, the Hebrews, I don't understand. But yet a simple-minded person seeing Jesus raised from the dead, they know Jesus is the Son of God. So what should you do? That if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart. So confess with your mouth is letting everybody know. Believe in your heart is inside. So at the outside, you tell other people, yes, I believe in him. But also inside, you believe God has raised him from the dead, which means he was the chosen one by God, of God. So now I see. He raised from the dead. All the miracles, Jesus was so wonderful. Now I know he is the chosen one. God sent him to save me from sin. If you confess with your mouth, if you accept him as your savior, you will be saved. You will be delivered from perish. Otherwise, my friend, you are going to perish. You are already dying. Yes, we are living, but day after day, we are dying as well. But if we confess with your mouth, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, dear friend, dear young people around us, this is the message for you. This is God's message to you. You hear that? You hear that? And what is your response? Repent. Turn your ways and acknowledge him as God, as the Creator. More than the Creator, he loves you. Accept him as your Lord. This is your chance today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that even though we have rejected you in the past, but yet you send your only begotten Son because you so loved us and send your Son to die on the cross for our sin and pay the price for our sin. We pray that you help everyone here to see your great love and respond to you. Lord, speak to our hearts and touch our hearts. Change our life to honor you, to glorify you, to follow you, and to love you. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen.